Bring it on!
And we're back here on RBNLive.com. You're tuned to the Repair the Breach broadcast. I'm the Repair of the Breach, Zachariah Daniel, and we've got Scott in Texas on the line. Welcome, Scott. What can we do for you today?
Hey, Zach. I've heard your show. I always catch the end of it, so I'm trying to listen to the radio station itself pretty much all the time. But
you can check the archives if you have the internet.
Yeah, you're on repairthebreach.com.
RBNLive.com, and then just go under archives and under Zach Daniel.
Okay, cool. I've caught some of the stuff you've been commenting on, and it's true that a lot of these churches are watered down, and the truth is no longer there. They don't preach on what's important, and I think you just kind of struck a chord with me, and I heard you mention something about the King James Bible. Now, do you read the King James Bible? Are you?
Yes, I do. I believe that's probably in English format. That's probably the best one, the best we've got.
Okay, yeah, because that's what I read. And I've been a Jack Trick has come out with a book that I have yet to get into, and it's just a book on did the Catholic Church give us the Bible? Of course, that's not true. But there's just so many versions of the Bible, and it takes away it's just a big mess. But Jesus did talk about these things that would happen, and I'm curious to when you said that when people say, hey, didn't we prophesy in your name, and you don't think those people are going to say, Jesus is going to say, I never knew you? Is it going to be Jesus or is it going to be Yahweh? What do you think?
Well, first of all, one of the biggest lies they were told was there was a doctrine called the Trinity. They try to make two or three people out of it. They would call the Almighty Messiah, we know, is one and the same person. See, there's not just the Almighty, and then you've got another person over here. He sent someone else to do redemption purposes. The Almighty loved us enough, the invisible spirit of the Creator, who was the invisible Father, manifested himself in the flesh as the Son. This is another Babylonian doctrine that Christianity has adopted called the Trinity. And many of the translations, you'll see, it makes it sound like there is one or more than one. It'll try to make it sound like two or three when you look at some of the Renewed Covenant.
Doesn't in John, Jesus says that he is all three.
Remember, Jesus was never his name, with all due respect. Did you know the first King James Bible, we talked about the King James Bible, with all due respect, didn't even have the name of Jesus or Jehovah in it?
Okay.
That's a fact. If a person says... And I respect people that say, well, it's only in the King James that's got the truth. I'd say that's probably the closest we've got. But the reality is they put Easter in Acts 12:4, and everyone knows in the newer translations they got it correct. It was Passover they were celebrating. The apostles never kept Easter, and they never called him Jesus because there's no J in Hebrew. There's no J in Greek for those that say, well, it's inspired in Greek now, and so we can call him Jesus. There's no J in Greek, with all due respect. There's no J again, until in the English language, until the last 400 years. Again, the first 1611 King James Bible didn't even have any J name or J word, for that matter. So he said he came in the Father's name in John 5:43. And if he said he came in the Father's name, then the Father's name was never Jesus. We would both agree on that, I'm sure. So the name of Yahweh was the name he came in because he was Yahweh manifest in the flesh, like 1 Timothy 3:16 states.
Okay, so how are you saved? I mean, are you a born again Christian? Would you consider yourself? I mean,
we do believe in receiving the baptism of the Spirit, but the covenant was to Yisrael, and they were the lost sheep of the house of Israel who became Gentile nations. So many Gentile Christians today think they need to be in the church or be a part of the Christian sect. When in reality, the word Christian again is a Greek term. It goes back to, with all due respect, folks. Krishna, Cretan, these are all terms that a lot of people would not even have any awareness. Goes back to paganism. Christianity, with all due respect, is just Christian, is paganism, christened. Anyhow, if you'd like to email us, scottbreachmender@yahoo.com. We've got our special guest coming up. I'd love to send you some information. You can go to the archives there. Also go to our Yahoo groups. We'll be back with our special guest, Barton Buttes.
ever climbing as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel-cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
KU-Band Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellite is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU Dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling, and begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information, or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
And we're back here on RBNLive.com, the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're tuned to the Repair of the Breach broadcast. I'm the Repair of the Breach, Zachariah Todd Daniel, and appreciate all the calls. Scott in Texas. Andrew, apologize, can't get your call. We got our special guest, just a professional, fine gentleman, first and foremost, one of the most first and foremost investigative reporters, Barton Buttes, a fellow broadcaster on TruthRadio.com, has a broadcast on Friday nights with Higher Grounds broadcast there. And Barton Buttes, welcome to Repair the Breach broadcast, my dear friend, and thanks for coming on and being with us today.
Good morning.
How are you doing today, sir?
Well, it's hot here, and it's scheduled to get hotter, but I can handle it, I guess, as long as I can stay where it's cool. So,
right. Well, absolutely, and you've done such a fine job of investigative reporting all through these years. You've been broadcasting since 1957, have a wealth of information. Why don't you share with your listeners about this process of commercial redemption? I know we've talked about how the Messiah is the most important redemptive efficacy, you know, that we need to apply in our lives, that he gave us the offer. We need to accept that. But until we do, then all these other things really aren't going to matter. But you've investigated this commercial redemption issue very well. Maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about your journey there.
Well, we've got to do a little history lesson.
Sure.
And we could go way back on it, but I'm going to start basically at 1933, take a step back a little bit, and then we'll move forward, because we need to understand how we got to where we are today, and then we can better understand what to do about it.
All right.
When the United States was first formed in 1776, all of the control was left in the hands of we the people. We were the final authority. This shows up on the preamble to our founding document, the United States Constitution. It is carefully crafted in the first 13 amendments, and which were basically rights that were further delineated for all of those who were American citizens. Now, from the very beginning, in the war that young United States, the colonies, defended themselves against Great Britain, the international bankers wanted to get involved, and they were kept at bay. They were kept at bay even through the years when Abraham Lincoln was president of the United States. And in fact, there are indications that one of the basic reasons he was assassinated was because of the action he took to control the currency of the United States and to retain it under the control of the U.S. Then in 1910, the international bankers sent to Washington, D.C., a young man who told them that he, if they gave him 3 years, would deliver them the authority and power to control the money for the United States. And this lobbyist did his job. And in 1913, the Federal Reserve Act was passed. And it was done virtually on Christmas Eve. And it was done in such a fashion that there were very few on the floor to oppose it. Well, from 1913, under this new arrangement, and let me explain how this arrangement works. Up to that time, all of the currency that was printed by the United States, the paper money, were treasury notes. There was no interest charged on them. The only interest that was, or what we could call interest, which was basically obligated to the United States or the American citizens, was basically inflation. And when Congress wrote checks to pay the bills, it affected the value of the money. Inflation is the true tax. But in 1913, it now became a third-party interloper, as we might call it, and a very interesting setup that they had. I wish I could set up a business with a similar profit margin that they had. The international bankers, through the Federal Reserve, began printing, or had the United States Department, Bureau of Engraving, rather, and printing, print their Federal Reserve notes now. And they paid for the paper and the ink for a sheet of these. They could be fives, ones, twenties, hundreds, fifties, whatever. And they paid only for the ink and the paper. Then, when they placed the identification numbers on them, the serial numbers and so on, they then lent them or leased them back to the United States government at their face value, quote-unquote. So if it was a sheet of 20s, now a paper that cost around a dollar to print, paper and ink, now had a value of 40 times that. Or 20 times that, you know, the whole sheet. So if you had a profit margin in which you paid about a dollar for a sheet, and there were, say there was $20 bills, and there were 40 of them on there, all of a sudden you had value now that you paid a dollar for that was $800. And you were charging interest on that for making it available to the United States government.
That's sham.
You bet. And that type of an arrangement, within 30 years, from 1913 to 1933, 20 years rather, in those 20 years, the United States government became so indebted that in 1932, the international bankers approached the administration and Congress and basically told them they were faced with bankruptcy because they did not have sufficient assets to cover the debt that was owed to them. Now, at that point, the President and Congress began to make moves through executive orders by the President and by joint resolutions of Congress and so on, and different actions that they took, in which they, to avoid bankruptcy, went into what we call receivership. Now, there is a fine line, but a key difference. And see if I can make it clear to you. When a company goes into bankruptcy, there is appointed a receiver or one who becomes, actually the court enters in, and there is a third party that is put in charge, and it is known to the public that they've gone into bankruptcy protection. And the control of the company basically is taken outside and is controlled by a judge and certain others who are put into key positions. It's a little bit different than that in receivership. In receivership, the appearance from the outside is that the business or corporation continues to go on as though they didn't, there was no change, except that the creditors put into the financial office of the debtor corporation their keeper, and all of the money flows through that individual's hands. Now, what's rather interesting here is that that's exactly what happened in our United States government, and they even did one thing a little more interesting to that point. The Secretary of the Treasury was chosen as the, quote, office that would now become the keeper's office. The name remained the same, but the effect and power of that office changed. And now the Secretary of the Treasury's office in 1933 became the control of the international bankers through what they called the keeper. And they began to pay his salary. He still holds a cabinet post. And ever since 1933, if you will examine all of the new administrations that came in, there have been disputes in almost every one of those new administrations over one or more possible individuals that were going to hold cabinet posts. But you never find a major dispute over any of the Secretary of the Treasury. And the reason being, the President of the United States, the new administration coming in, is not the one who chooses the man who will fill the post of the Secretary of the Treasury. He is paid by the international bankers. He is selected by them. This was true when Paul H. O'Neill stepped into that office. This was true when he resigned. And the successor who took his place was John W. Snow. And when John W. Snow let it known that he wanted to retire, and the man who stepped into that position, Henry M. Paulson, Jr., if you read the publications that came out concerning that in Time and many of the other national magazines, they were saying this is so far out of the normal pattern that the president does in choosing people to take these key positions. Well, yes, it was outside their normal because he isn't the one that did the choosing. He was the one that was told who that individual was going to be, and Henry Paulson was approved, and you didn't hear hardly a ripple out of Washington.
He was selected by the international bankers, not by Bush as the ruse.
That's correct.
So we'll be right back with Barton Buttes, one of the finest investigative reporters around, and we'll be right back here on RBNLive.com, listening to the Repair the Breach broadcast on Repair the Breach. Zach Daniel. We'll be right back. Stay tuned on RBNLive.com. Richmender@Yahoo.com. Be right back.
headline news, activation of our most decorated military divisions for confrontation with Russia and China through their ally, Iran. Military action when food shortages occur will divert food supplies to the military. The administration tells us to get non-perishable food. The government is right in telling us to have food stored, but when they say get some, you know we'll need a lot. The counsel to get some food gives the system deniability when food shortages are the reason for wiping out freedoms. Decide how many years of food will get your family through the coming times and store it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, dishonest retailers know you don't know what or how much to store. Bad food plans are life-threatening. Call 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil in light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
And we're back here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN5.com. You're tuned to the Repair of the Breach broadcast. I'm the Repair of the Breach, Zachariah Daniel, and we are honored to have a special guest of ours, Barton Butte, a fine investigative reporter and fellow broadcaster. His broadcast is with the Higher Ground show on Friday nights. That's truthradio.com on Friday nights. I believe it's 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And also, you can contact Barton at 8050 LaBerthon Street, and that is Sunland, California. And that's 91040. And as Barton likes to say, I guess the Almighty has a sense of humor. Is that right, Barton?
Yes.
Well, go ahead, Barton. As you were before the break, you were stating some important truths.
All right. We're going to go back now to 1933 because we've pretty well covered that particular angle. But what I wanted to do is go back to 1933, and if you were to check the congressional record between January of 1933 and July of 1933, you will find a very interesting series of events. And also, if you were to check the executive order that the president gave during that same period of time, you can put together, and it'll take some doing, but you can put together basically what happened. And that is, and the thing, beautiful thing about it, I should say, beautiful, tragic, is that they told us even then what they were planning on doing, and our ancestors were not being watchful. Let me read you just one little example.
Go ahead.
From the Federal Reserve Act in 1933, Chapter 6, the preamble, an act to provide for the establishment of Federal Reserve banks to furnish an elastic currency. There it is. You want rubber money? They're giving it to you. To afford means of rediscounting commercial paper. Read it again. To afford means of rediscounting commercial paper. What are they talking about? They're talking about devaluation. No longer will you have in your hands a certificate or a treasury note that you can take down and get proper value for. And in fact, I use this rather interesting illustration, and I'll get that in just a moment, but they even go on further. To establish a more effective supervision of banking in the United States and for other purposes. Now, at this point, the Federal Reserve is basically, with the help of Congress and the President, basically saying, hey, we're going to take full control of banking in the United States. And to further that and to cover it in its final analysis, let's go to something else that happened in March of 1933, in which Congress made the statement as follows, an act to provide for placing the jurisdiction, custody, and control of the Washington City post offices in the Secretary of the Treasury. Now, you say, why in the world did Congress do that? Well, it's very simple. Just go out into any major city on the evening of April 15th every year and watch what happens. There are lines of cars and postal workers with baskets catching the envelopes as they're tossed in that are being sent to the Washington, D.C. post office. And so who is the one who's going to be in control? The keeper, the Secretary of the Treasury. They told us they were doing this. And, of course, as we know, an executive order from President Roosevelt, with the help of the governors of the states, froze all of the gold and precious metal backing, and it was removed from our backing. So, consequently, in 1933, the United States moved into bankruptcy, but didn't go the full way. They instead stepped into receivership to keep the truth from the American people. And what happened then is, and it began back in 1921 and before, they began to realize that they were going to need to have the commitment of all of the assets of every living American to back the national debt. And in 1933, that was perfected. And they did it through a very interesting process. And now listen carefully, because a lot of people misunderstand this. It has nothing to do with a birth certificate. It has to do with the application for a certificate of live birth. That is a vital and key document. And most parents, because you go to the hospital and you sign a bunch of papers, and in those papers is an authorization for the birthing doctor or entity to prepare a certificate of live birth. But that application for a certificate of live birth carries your signature in a contract.
Well, why don't you hold that thought? We're visiting with Barton Buttes here on the Repair of the Breach broadcast. I'm Zach Daniel here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBNLive.com. And Barton can be heard regularly on Friday nights at TruthRadio.com at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we'll be right back on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBNLive.com, BreachMender at Yahoo.com. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
As a listener of this network, you know that we bring you the news and analysis that you just won't get from the corporate-dominated media outlets in this country. As an educated citizen, you also know that freedom itself is not free, but requires constant vigilance and sacrifice. A radio network such as Republic Broadcasting Network, a rare commodity indeed, also cannot survive on good intentions alone. So the next time you think about going down to the local superstore or electronics store, stop, get online first, and visit RepublicTradingPost.com. We have thousands of items at very competitive prices, and every dollar you spend with us will be invested back into RBN, so that we may continue to bring you the news and information the public so desperately needs. RepublicTradingPost.com, the store that invests its profits in your freedom.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
And we're back here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, Repair of the Breach broadcast. I'm the Repair of the Breach, Zachariah Daniel. One correction, actually Barton Buttes is on Friday nights at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 to 9, on the Higher Ground broadcast with D.G. Massett. And Barton, as you were saying before the break, you're bringing out some incredible points, fascinating information that is verifiable, and you've done, I know, your due diligence in your investigative reporting.
All right. It has to do with a contract. A contract that was signed by at least one of the parents and the birthing doctor. And the instructions that were given to the birthing doctor is that he had 72 hours to get the application for a certificate of live birth and the certificate of live birth into the hands of the local health commissioner. The local health commissioner has 7 days to get that information or those documents to the Secretary of State in the birth state, and then the Secretary of State has 7 days to get into the hands of the Department of the Treasury and the keeper in Washington, D.C. So now, within 2 weeks and 3 days, this paperwork arrives back in Washington, D.C., in the hands of the keeper or under his control, and the Department of the Treasury contacts the Social Security Administration and notifies them of this information. The Social Security Administration issues a 9-digit account number. We know it as the Social Security number. When that is then issued to the Department of the Treasury, and by the way, in the same process and the same notifications, the Department of the Treasury notifies the Bureau of Commerce, and then they turn this paperwork over to the Internal Revenue Service and request a bond. It is bonded by the international bankers in for an amount about at maturity of about $650,000. It is a maturity bond. Then, when that has been issued, the IRS then takes over the administrative control of this account, and they call it, this is their word to me, they call it a UCC contract trust. Now, I learned from an FBI agent that this is under the administrative control of the Analysis and Control Division of the IRS in Washington, D.C., so closely controlled that if you send a letter to the Analysis and Control Division of the IRS at 1111 Constitution Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C., your letter will never get there. They won't let you. They won't let that letter go through. We've tried. It will be sent to other offices and returned to you oftentimes in the envelope in which it was sent to you, sometimes open, sometimes stamped. Mine that I sent to that address ended up over on Capitol Hill and was returned to me. The point is that they protect this very carefully because that's the heart and soul of the all of the trust accounts covering all of the American people. Now, at the same time, when that is completed, the Department of the Treasury then issues an order to the Bureau of Engraving and Printing to start printing Federal Reserve notes. And if you will pull out a Federal Reserve note out of your wallet, this is a rather interesting aside, I have often times in my travels gone into a restaurant, my associates and I, and when the waiter or waitress comes to take care of us, we said, you know, before we order, we have a question. Do you receive Federal Reserve notes here? Do you accept them? You know how many times I've had waiters or waitresses run to the manager to find out if they accept Federal Reserve notes?
Yeah, I've done that to a banker over at Bank of America, and she was like the assistant manager. She had to go check with her manager, so what's that tell you?
We've been so hoodwinked, we've been so propagandized, so brainwashed, that we don't realize that the very paper we're carrying around in our pockets are not Treasury notes. They're Federal Reserve notes. And right on the face of each one of those notes, there's a couple of things that are very notable. First of all, there it is telling us what this note is. This is a this note is I don't have one right here in front of me, and I was going to look it up and see, but this note is You know, I'm not carrying my wallet in my pocket right at the moment, and I don't have that little statement. This note is, and that my mind has gone blank. I'm having one of those senior moments. It is a debt instrument. It tells you right in that notice on there that this is a debt instrument. That's very important to keep in mind as we go through this thing. Now, you will also note that in the upper right-hand corner and lower left-hand corner, you will note that there is a serial number. Now, it may be several letters of the alphabet, one or two and sometimes three, followed by eight numbers and then may have a letter after it. The last of those letters before the eight numbers is very important. It will never be a letter of the alphabet other than A through N. That is a designation that this is, and this has been confirmed to us by the Social Security Administration, that is a bond number. It has been bonded. And that bond number carries one of the area numbers for the Federal Reserve. They have regional offices all over the United States. And that same number appears on the back of a certificate of live birth on file in Washington, D.C. Carl Erickson went to that office looking for his, and they found it and brought it to the counter and showed it to him. And when he paid them the money to get a copy of it, they made a copy of the front of it and handed it to him. And when he asked for a copy of the back, which has that bond number on it, the letter and eight numbers, they refused to give it to him. In fact, when the supervisor finally came out and said he would do it for him and went to make a copy of it, the supervisor came running out of his office, grabbed the paper away from him, and said, "You cannot do that." And also, the instructions on the back of that certificate of live birth are basically what I outlined to you in the requirements from the birth doctor to the local health commissioner, to the Secretary of State, to the Department of the Treasury. The point is that that document is the copy that stays in Washington that is a record of their authority to set up in your name a commercial entity so that they can tax that commercial entity under the Corporate Federal Excise Tax Act of 1910 and 1913. And they begin printing Federal Reserve notes, which are backed by you. Your bond number is on there. The original application for the certificate of live birth, however, does not stay in Washington, D.C. That is the contract that protects the international bankers, and it is in one of three places. The Internal Revenue Service is not a domestic entity or is not an agency of the United States government. This has been made very clear in certain court decisions and so on. The most outstanding is 1993 in the United States District Court for the District of Idaho in the case of Diversified Metal Products versus Tebow Company Trust, IRS et al., in which Betty Richardson and Richard Ward, Department of Justice attorneys, in their answer to the court in that case, in point number four, clearly denied that the IRS is an agency of the United States government. And in fact, we can go further. If you'll go to the Federal Reserve Act and the Title 26, you will find that the reference to the secretary and the identification of who the secretary is, it says he is the Secretary of the Treasury of Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And the trust is in Puerto Rico. So consequently, we have an agency that is not an official agency of the United States government, but is in Puerto Rico that is controlling through the Federal Reserve all of the financing that goes on in the United States. And so consequently, the paperwork is either there or it is with the international bankers in Switzerland, or it is with the International Computer Center in The Hague. We don't know where it is. And if someone had the money and can go to the world court, it's possible that they will be able to locate where that is. And if you can get your hands on that original contract, it's an accrual account. The United States and the Internal Revenue Service have been using that as an accrual account since 1933 on every living American. Now, a very interesting aside here. After the Katrina disaster, the FEMA began handing out debit cards. Now, there's a recent scandal over that because they're acknowledging that that FEMA basically gave up control of about $1.4 billion. They don't know what happened to it through this whole thing. But those debit cards were given to survivors of Katrina. And in fact, I know a couple of them who received these cards. And one of them, out of curiosity, began to investigate as to how this was handled. And he followed the trail to Chase Manhattan in a bank in New York. And they refused to talk to him about it. But upon further investigation, we have indications, we don't have the final word on this, but we have indications that these debit cards administered by Chase Manhattan Bank, they don't pay the bills, but we understand that the payments very possibly for covering the debit bills that come in is from the very same UCC contract trusts.
Oh,
so here we come full circle. That's basically the way they're doing it. But getting back to what's basically happening in Washington, D.C., who do you think is the most powerful man in Washington, D.C.?
Well, many would say President Bush, but it's obviously the Secretary of the Treasury.
You're absolutely correct. However, not by himself alone. I used to say that he alone was, and I'll give you two illustrations that will clearly give you an indication of his authority. Because
all right.
This is international news. The day that our troops and the Western troops crossed the border into Iraq in this last conflagration that's still going on, you will note that on that day, John W. Snow, the Secretary of the Treasury, walked up to the White House press office microphones, didn't take any questions, didn't talk to anybody, but simply stated that today he was freezing all the assets all over the world of the Saddam Hussein government. Now I ask you, how is it possible for the Secretary of the Treasury of a country on the North American continent to freeze the assets of a foreign government on a foreign on another continent in another part of the world? Well, I'll tell you, he wasn't speaking as the Secretary of the Treasury of the United States. That's the title he wore, and that's what everybody looked at, but he was speaking as the representative of the international bankers. And then, a second point, because this is also in national TV, on the day that the troops were ready to roll into Baghdad, John W. Snow walked up to those same microphones, again with a piece of paper in his hand. Again, he didn't take any questions, didn't say anything other than what he read off the paper. He said, "Today I am announcing the rebuilding of Iraq, and the first contract has been assigned to Bechtel Corporation." And then he turned and walked out. And I ask you again, how is it possible for the Secretary of the Treasury of a country on the North American continent to announce the rebuilding of a country halfway around the world on another continent? He wasn't speaking as the Secretary of the Treasury. He was speaking as the representative of the international bankers.
Good point.
And if you want to know why we are in Iraq and why we are in Afghanistan, you don't look to the President of the United States for answers. He will give you some answers, but let's look to what it's really there for. And to answer this in this way, I ask you another question. Can you name for me the three countries in the world that have the largest natural resources in the highest quality crude oil?
Venezuela, Iraq, and maybe Iran.
Well, you're close. Number one is Russia. Number two is Venezuela. And number three is Mexico. Now, why are we facing such high crude oil prices because of a little crisis in the Middle East when the number two and number three oil reserve nations are in the Western Hemisphere, I ask you? Well, there's politics involved. And the politics is this. The oil reserves in Russia, they need a year-around deep water port. And the best way they feel to do that is to run a pipeline across Afghanistan into Iraq, and then they have it. But in order to put a pipeline across Iraq, across Afghanistan, you don't want a bunch of terrorists running around that are going to blow up your pipeline every few miles and destroy your whole project. And when you get to the other end and you find a loose cannon in Saddam Hussein, you need to stabilize that situation. So the international bankers have engineered it, and that's where we are. And why we're there is because they want the oil reserves from Russia.
Wow. Information, great information.
Now, I think we're coming up to a break, and then we'll capsulize all this. But going back to it, we are in we have been hoodwinked for years. Since 1933, it really has been full blast. And there is only one step in process in which you can secure the one point of solid ground to stand on that is in our United States today, and that's to reestablish your status that was given up by your parents as the secured party so that you have a prior and superior claim. Now, you can't do this by simply expatriating and stepping out of the system because, you see, your parents signed a contract that basically sold you out to the state. I love my parents, but, you know, that was a problem that I have to deal with. And because I don't have the original contract in my hand, I cannot simply terminate that entity. So when we come back, we'll talk about how to do it.
All right. Thank you, Barton. We'll be right back here with Barton Butte, investigative reporter and journalist and broadcaster on truthradio.com on Friday nights at 8 p.m. Central. Truthradio.com. You can hear Barton Butte on the Higher Ground broadcast. You're listening to the Repair of the Breach broadcast on RBNLive.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allan. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allan takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allan.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
And we're back here on Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnlive.com. We're with our special guest, investigative reporter Barton Butte. Again, he can be heard on Friday nights on truthradio.com on the Higher Ground broadcast. And, Barton, we've got about 5 minutes. I know you've got so much information out there that you've brought out to our listeners. Why don't you go ahead and wrap it up?
Well, I'm just going to wrap it up here, and with your permission, we'll suggest three different packages that might help people to have an understanding of this.
Go right ahead.
The the fact is that we cannot step out of the system that they have created, because they created around our straw man and then drew us into it. But you can, through a three-stage process, establish your status as the secured party with a prior and superior claim, even before the United States and the Internal Revenue Service. And I point this out again in that same case in state of Idaho, in the United States District Court. Betty Richardson and Richard Ward noted that even the United States and the IRS must step back and subordinate in the face of the prior and superior claim. And in 1973, in the case of United Tobacco Warehouse versus Wells, it was pointed out that the first to file the UCC has priority. Now, we have set up a charitable service ministry, Consumer Advocate Ministry. It is a small ministry, but we are helping hundreds of people every week across the United States through the three stages of the UCC redemption process. Now, one of the first things we suggest for those who are not really aware of what's going on, they're aware that something is wrong, and by the way, a whole lot of people are, over 50 million have now filed, according to the Department of State in Washington, UCCs. But we're finding that about 3 out of 5 of them did not do it correctly. There's a very careful process that has to be followed. And in order to help people through this, we make available an 80-page property protection package, which gives a lot of detail and explains this and shows forms and everything. And it is available for a suggested donation. We do not sell it, so don't come to us and ask to buy it. It is a suggested donation of $30. And included with that is a marvelous piano CD by a friend of ours, a concert pianist lady that we know who wants to help in this ministry. And then we also have put together 11 hours of DVD on 3 DVD discs, 11 hours, explaining it step by step. But a lot of people simply come to us and request that we do it for them. Now, we do have a suggested donation on the 3 DVDs of $50. And if you want us to do the 3 procedure steps for the UCC to establish your status as a secured party, we have a suggested donation of $500. But we will not turn anybody away who does not have it. We are a charitable service ministry, and as long as we're able and the Lord provides, we will continue. And if you want to participate in this, your donations are accepted. But if you come to us for help, we will do whatever we can to help you.
Well, Barton Butte, that's awfully kind of you, and we're praying for your ministry to continue to be a blessing as you have. You've blessed our ministry with this help that you've provided. You know, get his package. I mean, go ahead and give your contact information real quick, your 8050 address.
8050 LeBerthon Street, LeBerthon Street, Sunland, California, and the postal zone is easy to remember, 91040.
Go ahead one more time.
8050 LeBerthon Street, Sunland, California, 91040.
Thank you, Barton Beast. We hope you come back, and Yah will bless you, and we appreciate you. Until next week, you're listening to the Repair the Breach broadcast. I'm your host, Zach Daniel. Yah bless you, everybody. Have a great one. The Sabbath is from Monday evening to Tuesday evening for this moon. And until next week, Yah willing, shalom.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally-based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenney Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.